Hello and welcome to the Old Time Country Church broadcast. This is Pastor Dave Jones. I am pastor of the Faith Independent Baptist Church in the community of Hebron, Kentucky. Glad you tuned in today. It's going to be a good broadcast. You're going to enjoy the subject material, I think. But while we're together this morning, the first thing we do is pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father, for this good day of life that you've given us. Lord, you said every day is the day that you give us. You said the day the Lord hath made, and we'll rejoice and be glad in it. And so, Lord, we ask you now today, the Father, that you might touch the broadcast, touch the heart of the people who hear it. I pray you'd anoint the word of God as it goes out. May somebody get some help. May some poor sinner get saved. May some old backslider come home. God, may some prodigal come back to the Father's house. And we'll thank you for it all. We'll lift our hands and praise you and give you glory for it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to think about the subject of peace this morning. In recent days, we've been deciding whether we're going to go to war with Iran or not as a country. They provoked us a couple of times, not unlike other countries that have done recently, Russia and all the rest of them. And we always have these little despots who want to poke at us and kind of see if they can get something stirred up. And then they're always sorry at the end of the day because we generally just overwhelm them. And I'm not sure how this is going to come out just yet. But there's always something going on in this world that causes us not to have peace. If you ever read about any of the presidents, you name them from Washington on down to our current president, every one of them has promised that when they get in the office, they're going to strive for world peace. But so far, they have all failed. And you know why they failed? Because they're not going to be any world peace until the Prince of Peace rules and reigns from Jerusalem during the 1,000-year reign. And there's no peace until the devil's locked up and Jesus rules and reigns in this world. And so they'll make efforts, and there may be temporary little treaties made and so forth like that. But I'm telling you that there's not going to be any real peace until Jesus comes and sits on the throne as the King of Peace, the Prince of Glory. And he is coming one day. But I want to read from Mark chapter 4. This is a good illustration of what I'm talking about today. In Mark chapter 4, the disciples and Jesus were down in a ship. And in verse 36, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as they were in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat under the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, rebuking the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith? So you here have an instance where Jesus and the disciples were in a ship, and a great storm came up, and they were afraid, as any of us would be. We were afraid in a storm. It was probably dark, and the waves were dashing, and the wind was blowing, lightning flashing, all of that. And Jesus stepped out on the deck of that ship and addressed the sea, and he said, Peace, be still. And so we sometimes think, well, what am I going to do? I don't seem to have any peace anymore. And if you take notice of people, I do because that's what I do. You take notice of people. There are not many people in this world that have peace. They say they have, but they really don't. Everybody's in a turmoil. It seems like everybody's mad at one another today. I don't quite understand all that. They're mad at the world. They're mad at themselves. They're mad at you for no reason. You go into a store to do business, and many times the folks who wait on you are having such a bad day. They're in such stress that they're actually ugly with you, like they're sorry you came in to do business with them. And I never try to retaliate to them. I try to give them something to laugh about or encourage them or tell them what a good job they're doing. I try not to aggravate them in that way because we've all had bad days, but there doesn't seem to be any peace. If you ever watch the ocean, it's constantly moving. It's constantly the waves coming in on the shore, and when the winds stir up, and whenever they come around in storms and things like that, and those white caps get blowing, that ocean is troubled. And that ocean always has foam on it and rolling and roaring and day and night. And that's sometimes like our minds and our homes and our churches and all the rest of that. It just seems like that there's trouble and turmoil everywhere we go. And so somebody said, Preacher, how can I have some peace in the midst of all that? Well, Jesus was the reason for the peace there. He spoke to the wind and the sea and said, Peace, be still. Many times times the Lord will speak to us in a still, small voice. The Bible said over there that he is our peace, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But I want to think first of all about our salvation. The place we begin, folks, is to be sure you're saved. If you don't know you're saved, nothing else matters. Nothing else will bring you peace. It'll be a temporary peace. It'll be a band-aid on it, because you're always going to come back at night and say, what happens if I die? Will I go to heaven? Will I go to hell? If you don't know you're saved, that is torment. That is total torment. But I want us to think about this. I want to think about our salvation. And there was a place over in the book of Luke where the Lord was eating with some Pharisees, and a woman who was a very bad woman, who had a terrible reputation in the town, came into where he was, and she began to kiss his feet and weep over him and anoint his feet with ointment and dried it with the hair of her head. And the Pharisees were just so self-righteous, and they were so indignant about the fact this woman would come in and touch Jesus Christ and invade their meeting. How dare her come in that holy place? And a lot of churches like that, I'm sorry to tell you, there are a lot of churches so-called in this world where sinners are not welcome. If you don't look just right, or you don't smell just right, they don't want you to come. But I'm going to tell you, but for the grace of God, none of us would look right and smell right. We'd still be in the gutter and shooting up dope and mess like that, wherever you came from, wherever I came from. I'm telling you, the church, the hospital for sinners, thank God. And the Bible invites them all, the lame and the halt and the blind, all of them come and partake of the supper. And so the Lord talks about it here in Luke chapter 7. This woman came, and he made an illustration to the Pharisees, because they were wondering in their hearts, who is this man that will allow this? If he's really God, he wouldn't allow her to touch him. But she did touch him, and she wept over him and kissed his feet. And he made an illustration about two men who owed a big amount and one owed a little amount. And he said they were forgiven both. And he said, who do you think is going to love the most? And they said, well, that one that had the big amount owed, he'd love the most. And he said, you see this woman right here? He said, from the time she came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet and anoint my feet. And you didn't do that. As a host, you did not come in and make me comfortable. That was the way they did things back there. When the host would have a visitor come in, a traveler, they would anoint their feet and wash them and make them feel comfortable after their journey. They did none of that. But this woman did. She ceased not to kiss his feet. And so when it got down to the end of the thing here, he said in verse 47, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven her. Man, what a blessing. What a wonderful day that is when our sins are forgiven, that the Lord Jesus Christ forgives us of our sins. And then he said this. He said, wherefore I said to her, that her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but so to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. He said, this woman is on her knees down here kissing my feet and anointing my feet and wiping with the hair of her head and worshiping me because she had I forgave her of a lot of sins. And right away, then the self-righteousness rears up in the Pharisees. And they that sat at meat with her began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? They said, who is this guy? Who does he think he is that can he forgive sins? Well, I tell you who he is. He didn't think he is. He is God, and God's the only one who can forgive a sin. I can't forgive your sins. The Pope can't forgive your sins. The priest can't forgive your sins. The rabbi can't forgive your sins. Only God can forgive our sins. And the Bible said there is one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. There is no other mediator. Mary is not a mediatrix. I'm not a mediator. There is one mediator, thank God, and that one is Jesus Christ. And we can come to him. He's our high priest. We can come into the holiest of all on the merits of the shed blood of Jesus Christ and have access to the throne, thank God. But here he said, and he knew their thoughts. I wonder why it is that we think somehow that we get by without God seeing our thoughts. A lot of people say, God doesn't know. Yes, he does know. God knows our thoughts. That is a sobering prospect, neighbor. That's a very sobering prospect. And I want you to notice right here that he said, and they sat at meat with him, began to say within themselves. They didn't have to say it out loud. He knew what their thoughts were. And he said unto the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Go in peace. Neighbor, you'll never have any peace unless you know your sins have been forgiven. You will never, ever understand the peace of God when it comes to salvation until you trust Jesus as your Savior. I'm not talking about joining up a church someplace. I'm not talking about writing your name somewhere. I had a friend of mine, he said, they were talking about people, said, well, all you, he said, if all you did was come down the aisle and shake the preacher's hand and write your name on the church roll, he said, you may as well walk down and shook a mule's tail and wrote your name on the barn door for all the good that did. And that's about right, brother. That's about right. The church roll and the church doesn't save you. The blood of Jesus Christ does. And I'm telling you, you need to know you're saved. If you cannot go back to a day and a time, now listen to this preacher, I'm trying to help you today. If you can't go back to a day and a time you got saved, you better revisit that and make today the day of your salvation. I didn't say you need to know the day and the hour. Some people do. Some people know the exact day, the exact hour they got saved. Hallelujah. I know that I got saved in April of 1958. It was on a Sunday. And I expect it's probably around noon or 12:30. I don't know. But I don't know the day in April. I don't know the date, but I just know it was that month. And there was a time when Jesus Christ convicted my soul, and I repented of my sin and came and received him as my Savior, asked him to come into my heart and save me and wash me in his blood, and he did, thank God. And that's been many, many years ago. Many of you listening to my voice were not even alive then. But I'm telling you right now, Jesus Christ is the way to salvation. He is salvation. Jesus said to them one day, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. And then the Bible said here that he said, look, you need to come to me. I am salvation. I am the way. He said, no man comes unto the Father except by me. And I'm telling you, you need to know you're saved. There is no peace without knowing that your sins are forgiven. That thing will torment you. Believe me, I know what I'm talking about. That thing will torment you. It'll come down in the middle of the night, and you'll say, man alive, what if I die tonight? I used to lay in bed as a 17-year-old boy and say, if I died tonight, I'd go to hell. And my heart would race. I thought, dear Lord, I'm going to die in my sleep and go to hell. And I was afraid because I knew I wasn't saved. I knew my sins had not been covered in the blood. But thank God, thank the blessed Lord. One day, some people came to me and told me about how to get saved and took me to church. And after a little while, I asked the Lord to come in my heart and save me. And I'm just an old sinner saved by God's grace. I'm nobody. I ought to be in hell today instead of preaching on the radio. I give him all the glory and the praise. But be sure you're saved. Be sure there is no peace without salvation. The Bible said he is our peace. And he broken down the wall of partition between us. Jesus Christ is our peace. He made peace at the cross of Calvary for us. Then the second thing is this. Sometimes we say, well, Lord, I need some inner peace. The world is just coming apart around me, and everything is happening about me. All my home is tore up. My family is all messed up. My job's about to give out. My car is tore up. My health is bad. Whatever it is, it could be all those things. And we know certain days sometimes is a bunch of stuff. But you say, how am I going to have that peace in the midst of all that? Well, let me think about this just a minute. There is an inner peace, and that inner peace comes, again, from knowing Jesus. But in John 14, if you read the first part of John 14, the Lord talks about he's going away. He's going to Calvary. He's going to die on the cross of Calvary. But he said, I'm going to leave you a comforter. And he's going to bring you some peace. He's going to give you some encouragement. And he's going to witness of me. So in John chapter 14, and we read down here in verse 25, the Lord said this. These things have I spoken unto you, yet being present with you. He said, I'm still here in my bodily form. But the Comforter, that's a capital C, that's the Holy Spirit. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and shall bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. I give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. The Bible said down here, he said, I'm going away. But he said, don't worry, I'm going to leave you the Comforter. I know from preaching a lot of revivals and standing in the bedside of my dying folks that I can bring no comfort to anybody. I try, but I really can't. I know that if they get any comfort, it's going to come from the presence of the Holy Spirit of God in their heart. And so he said here, he said, my peace I leave with you. My peace I leave with you. Jesus gives peace in the midst of the storm. And he said, but I'm not going to be here all the time, but the Holy Spirit's going to come, and he's going to bring comfort. Did you ever read in the Bible about the second coming of Jesus for the church, what we call the rapture? Have you ever read about that? Read all the verses that pertain to that particular coming at before the tribulation period. And the Bible said, wherefore comfort one another, these words. The word comfort you're going to find in the surrounding verses there. Now, if I'm going to go through the tribulation period and then have to be raptured out like a bunch of these folks twist the scriptures and think, there ain't no comfort in that, brother. The comfort comes, he's coming ahead of the tribulation period to take his people out. His blood-washed church, he's taking us out. And so he said, wherefore, comfort one another, these words. And he said, there is inner peace. There is inner peace whenever we say, the Holy Spirit of God, give me some peace. Remind me about the Lord. And remind me about the scriptures and bring peace to my heart. And we know this because the Bible said he brings that peace that passes all understanding. In the book of Philippians, wonderful passage over here. In the book of Philippians, chapter 6. He talks about this thing in chapter 4 and verse 6. He said, be careful for nothing. But he said, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Here's another way to have peace. That's prayer. Why do we carry all this burden around? Why is we drag all these burdens around with us when we know God answers prayer? David prayed three times a day, morning, noon, and night. Daniel prayed three times a day. The early church met together often for prayer. They were praying the night that Jesus was resurrected and came to visit him that very night. I'm saying to you that we can bring our burdens to the Lord. The Bible said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Thank God, thank God, he careth for you. Don't forget to pray, neighbor. That old song that used to sing on the Cato Tabernacle years ago, ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? And sometimes we just drag all these burdens and all these troubles and all these things around with us all day long, when if we would just start the day on our knees and say, Lord, here's my burden. Here's what's causing me problems. I put it in your hands. I turn it over to you, Lord. But yet we seem to love, we have a martyr complex or something. We love to have a long face and drag that stuff around with us. Neighbor, don't do that. You're not going to have any peace if you don't learn to pray and learn to turn it over to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you from experience, because I'm human and flesh just like you are, sometimes you got to do that throughout the day. Because I'll turn it over in the morning and before too long I'm worried about it again. It's okay, God. I can't worry about this. I am going to turn it back over to you. I'm sorry I took it up. I can't fix it. There are some things in this world, neighbor, we cannot fix. It's out of our hands. Lay your burdens at the feet of Jesus Christ. Lay that burden down and confess that thing before God. You got sin, confess it and forsake it. That'll keep you tore up too. But to know that sin is under the blood and to know that Jesus Christ is your Savior and know that he has forgiven you. The Bible said if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I'm telling you right now that as a Christian, we sin. We live in sinful flesh. Well, that flesh didn't get saved. I wish I had a new body. Man, I could use it today. And many of you listen to my voice could use it today. You're sick, you're crippled. Things happening to you. One day, hallelujah, the child of God will have a new body. It'll be fashioned like unto God's glorious body. We'll be like Jesus then and never die. But until then, brother, we're encased in stinking, rotten, depraved flesh that wants to sin every day, 24/7. And sometimes that sin slips in. We got to get on our face and say, God, forgive me. I apply the blood, and to know that sin burden is lifted brings some peace in our life. But there's another way we can help ourselves too, and that is in verse 8 of Philippians chapter 4. He said, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue in these things, praise, think on these things. Be careful what you put in your brain, folks. Don't be a news junkie. You can watch every news channel in the world 24/7, and you'll be so perturbed and mad, no matter what your political persuasion is, that you just want to go out and just bite a tree or something like that. You know what you're going to do. It's subliminal. It keeps us tore up all the time, and there's no peace in the thing. If you watch these news programs, and they're always at each other's throats, talking over each other, that just foments it. That drives that level of stress higher. and a level of anxiety higher. And everybody's got a story, and everybody's got so-called truth and that kind of thing. Or if you watch all these reality programs and all these things, people's got these diseases. And you say, man, I think I got that too. Every disease you watch, you're going to think you got the thing. And I had an uncle one time that believed he had everything his wife had, he had. No matter what was wrong with her, he said, I feel the same way. I must be having just like you did. He was a little bit of a hypochondriac. But I'm telling you, if you watch all this stuff, it's going to convince you of a couple of things. One, it's going to convince you you're going to die before you your time. Number two, it's going to convince you that there's no hope in this world, and there is not without Jesus Christ. We know how that comes out. And it's also going to convince you that war is coming, and there's going to be a food shortage, and everybody's going to starve, and a bubonic plague is going to come, and they're going to be stacking bodies up like they did in France during those medieval times, all that kind of stuff. And you pay attention to that, and before long, it's in your brain, in your heart. What's the answer to that, Brother Dave? Put good stuff in there. Read your Bible. Read good novels. Read the stories of Christians. And read to your children or your grandchildren. And listen to good things. Listen to good music. You don't need to listen to all this trash that's on the radio and MP3s and all that kind of stuff about shooting your mama and smoking dope and all the rest of that and worshiping Satan and junk like that. What do you need that for? Put some good stuff in your brain. Get some of the old hymns in your heart. We went to visit a friend the other day who's in an Alzheimer's ward. And we've known this person for years and years and years, since high school days. And they have Alzheimer's. And they didn't know really who we were. But we sat down with the guitar and got singing the old hymns, and right away the words came. And they were singing and tears running down their face. I'm going to tell you something. You put that in your heart. You put those good, positive things in your heart, and you'll have some peace that like nobody can think about. Then one more thing here. We can have thoughts, but in Isaiah chapter 2, I want you to think about this just a minute. I want you to think about the time when there really will be world peace. That's coming, but not for just yet. He said, the word of the Lord, the son of Amoz, the word of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, reading from Isaiah chapter 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up into the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord unto Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. And they shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. That's coming when Jesus Christ rules and reigns on this earth for 1,000 years. There'll be perfect peace, and they'll beat their swords into plowshares, and they'll not learn war anymore. That old spiritual said, "I ain't gonna study war no more." And brother, that's right. That's right. And that's coming. That's coming one day, thank God. But until then, you and I can have some peace in the storm. And that peace begins with Jesus Christ and begins knowing you're saved. And that peace also continues by allowing the Holy Spirit to comfort us and teach us. Read the Word of God. Put good stuff in your brain. Pray and listen to good music and good things that uplift you. And stay away from people that are all the time down. Don't be around people all the time trying to tear you down. Negative, negative, negative. You don't need that. Get around some people that are positive, know where they're going when they die. And lastly, think about the day when Jesus is going to rule and reign. It's not going to be this way all the time, brother. Things are going to change when Jesus comes. Well, our time's about gone from us today. I hope you enjoyed the study and the sermon today. And if any way can help you, you write to us. Our announcer will give you all the particulars. Until the next time, may God bless you, neighbor.